evening, and welcome to this last joint Lenten service between the UCC and St. Paul's, both of Hackensack, Minnesota. Our governor today ordered a stay-at-home, passed a stay-at-home order, and so we want to model good behavior. So this will be the last service that we will be doing together, and each church will then do individual streaming for the rest of Lent. And St. Paul's will be doing Holy Week, Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter morning. And they will all be streamed on our Facebook. So we hope that this time together is a blessing. And it has been an odd time. One of my favorite times of the year is when we share these community Lenten services. So just know that we miss you all very much, and we're praying for you, and God is with us always.
Mm-hmm. We'd like to welcome both congregations and visitors who are joining us live, and as Judy said, I know that our congregation, I will probably be streaming from home and doing some services Sundays and probably next Wednesday from home. I don't know what that looks like yet. We'll figure it out, like we're figuring out everything else, and we will get through this. So enter this time with us into worship, and join us in the call to worship.
And as always, whenever we come together in God's name, God promises to be present and at work in our hearts and in our midst. And thus we do begin this service in the strong name of God the Creator, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God is here. God is now.
It is time for celebration.
Our praises need not be confined to old songs, nor do we need great organs or massive choirs to honor God's name.
Let us create new songs of praise to our God. Let us discover new ways of proclaiming God's greatness and glory.
The elements all about us reflect God's majesty.
The roaring sea and all the inhabitants in it, the creatures that fill the air and the land.
The mountains that probe our skies, the rivers and lakes that slake our thirst.
The moon and the great planets and stars that light up the night.
All of these reveal God's beauty and splendor, and out of this comes all that is fashioned by human mind and hand.
Rockets and computers, art and architecture, music and literature.
Wherever one turns, God's power is manifested.
God's presence is made apparent.
Let us celebrate God's presence in God's world today.
I'm gonna control my dog here a second. Caesar.
Caesar gets perfect attendance at these services.
And he's obsessed with the PowerPoint clicker. I think we've sung this song the last few times, and it's called The Rising of the Sun. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord will be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord will be praised. The name of the
scripture reading is found in the book of Matthew in the 14th chapter, beginning with verse 13. Now, when Jesus had heard this, about the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed Jesus on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Then Jesus ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, Jesus went up the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone.
I'm going to take Pastor Judy's podium. Every summer, I was working with a group that would take a group of high school students to a week-long camp in Colorado. And there was never a dull moment up there. Every moment of every day, you would need to be available for the students. It didn't matter if it was mealtime. It didn't matter if you were climbing up a mountain or rappelling down a rock. Small groups, large groups, bedtime. You were always expected to be available to them. At night, sometimes I would get woken up because a student wasn't feeling well, or maybe they were homesick, or they just needed to talk. There was no time off when you were on that trip. Needless to say, I never got a whole lot of sleep when I did those trips. I was doing constant ministry. It was exhausting. My third year there, I found a place to get away, because we'd always go to the same spot. And I found a place where I could get away for a little while. And it was down a horse trail, about 3/4 of a mile. And it would open up into this small lake area. And it had a trail around it. And about halfway around it, there was this big rock that kind of shot out over the trail. And so I would sneak up there and sit on top of that rock and look over the lake and look at the mountains. And I would take a deep breath and just kind of center myself for a little bit. But more times than not, I would hear a student, or I would see them first, across the lake, come up the trail. And across the lake, you would hear them yell, "Tori!" And I'd have to get down from my rock and go attend to whatever their need was. When I got home, I was completely exhausted, and I just wanted to be alone for a little while. In our story today, Pastor Judy read a familiar passage that I think many of us heard at one time or another. But I want to take a really different view of this story. I want to focus on the verses that Pastor Judy started it with and ended it with. Verse 13, it says, "Now when Jesus heard this, the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself." And then verse 23, which ends this passage that we read. "And after Jesus dismissed the crowds, he went up a mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone." This story of Jesus ministering to thousands of people is sandwiched in between two verses where Jesus is trying to get alone. When this particular scripture is told in the Gospel according to Matthew, the author tells this story as part of a bigger story. So I kind of want to zoom out a little bit and take a look at what's happening before the story and what's happening after this story. In chapter 14, it begins with how John the Baptist was beheaded by Herod as a gift to Herodias' daughter. John the Baptist's death was gruesome and it was unjust. And I will let you read the details of all of that. But I want to make sure that you understand that our story today begins right after Jesus hears about John the Baptist's death. Right after he hears about his relative being beheaded. As any person could imagine, this news would have hit Jesus hard. Now, I don't know about you, but it's logical for me to think that Jesus wanted to be alone for a while to grieve John's death. So he got in a boat and he sailed off to be by himself. And he ended up in a deserted place. But the crowds heard where Jesus was. And they followed him. What follows is the story of Jesus meeting the needs of all of these people that met him. And he ended up feeding over 5,000 people. Not only did he feed them, but he healed them and he ministered to them. And then he took the responsibility upon himself to dismiss the entire crowd while he put his disciples back in the boat and sent them on their way across the lake. It was only then that Jesus could find a quiet place to rest and to grieve and to gather his thoughts and get centered again. After our last verse that we read today, there is another famous story. Jesus comes down off of the mountain after he feeds 5,000 people, sends the disciples across the lake, and he wants to connect and reconnect with his disciples. But they're far out on the lake. He can't get to them. And he sees that the winds are battering the boat and slamming into the side of the boat. So what does Jesus do? He walks out to them on the water. And this is the story where the disciples think that Jesus is a ghost. But then Peter asks, "Lord, is it you? Command me to come to you on the water." And then Jesus gives permission to do that. So Peter starts walking on the water, but then he gets scared because the waves, he sees everything happening around him, and he almost drowns. But then Jesus grabs him out of the water and hauls him back into the boat. And the waves stop. The Gospel of Matthew then tells us that when they got to the other side of the lake, more people were waiting for Jesus to teach them, to heal them. And he did. Matthew tells these stories as if it happened in one day. One day. He gets the news of John being beheaded. He feeds 5,000 people. He goes out and walks on the water, all while trying to get alone. Now, I don't know if it really happened this way or not, but that's how the writer of Matthew wrote it. And it does give a great picture of the demand that was put on Jesus to do things for people. And I can relate to the doing things for people. And maybe you can too. I mean, with me being a pastor, I do a lot of things for people. And you probably do too. Your work, the industry that you're in, the volunteering that you do. You do things for people. There are great needs. And there has been more than once where I have wished for those times of solitude and rest. Like Jesus trying to get by himself when we're looking at these verses. I can think of times when I said, if only I had an extra day off. Or, if only I had more time, I would. Or I would say, if only I didn't have to work today. If only. Well, now I do. We all do. We all have this time. The if only is here. And I don't know about you, but I'm finding that without doing things, I feel a bit lost. And at times, I have anxiety that grows inside of me that I don't know what to do with. Because I should be doing something. And I think many people feel that way right now. We have time. We have quiet, and we don't know what to do with it. I have to admit, I'm very good at doing things. I do ministry well. I do Sunday church services. I do calls to people. I do lunch and dinner with people from the community. I do things pretty easily. Doing is what our society has conditioned us to do. But what about being? What about just simply being? When was the last time we really concentrated on that? Being. Being more kind, being more patient, being more loving, being more lovable, being more observant and being more available, being more intentional, and being more of a decent human being. This is still Lent season, a time when we look deep inside of our hearts, in the darkest places of our lives, and confront our humanness. And maybe this is a time that is meant to work out our humanity and maybe redefining what it means to be human. We are created by a loving God who created us to love. Love God. Of others. And what does that look like for us now? When our doing is taken away and we are left with being. I want to challenge you to ask yourself a question every day until this ends. I want you to ask yourself, what do I want to be today? I'm not asking you to ask yourself, what do I want to do today? I want you to ask yourself, what do I want to be today? Finish the sentence. I want to be, because whatever we decide to be will determine what we do. My friends, when this is over, may we become people who look more like Jesus. May our doing flow out of who we are becoming. And let us find rest, and let us find peace and comfort in knowing that God is in control. And also in the midst of all of this, allow God to transform us into who God wants us to be. Amen.
For this time. Dear Christ, in this time of COVID-19, we pray. When we aren't sure, God, help us to be calm. When information comes at us from all sides, some correct and some not correct, help us to discern. When fear makes it hard for us to breathe, and anxiety seems to be the order of the day, slow us down, God. Help us to reach out with our hearts when we can't touch with our hands. Help us to be socially connected when we have to be physically distant. Help us to love as perfectly as we can, knowing that perfect love casts out all fear. For the doctors, dear Lord, we pray. For the nurses, we pray. For all those who work in healthcare, we pray. For the technicians and the janitors, the aides and all caregivers, we pray. For firemen and for policemen, we pray. For researchers, the epidemiologists, the investigators, all those who are struggling to understand this virus. And we pray for those who are sick and for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, we pray. For all who are affected all around the world, dear Lord, we pray for safety, for health, for wholeness. And Lord, we pray that we may feed the hungry and give drink to the thirsty, that we clothe the naked and house those who have no home, that we may walk with those who feel they are alone, and that we may do all that we can to heal the sick in spite of the epidemic, in spite of our fear. Dear Lord, help us that we be inspired by your Holy Spirit to help one another. In this we pray, in the loving name of the Creator, in the loving name of the Healer, and in the life-giving life of the Holy Spirit that is in all and with all, we do pray that this may be so. Amen.
I have called you each by name.
children of God, receive the benediction, and until we meet again, know that Christ is with you now and forever. Until then, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you all with great favor. And may God give you his great and everlasting peace that passes all understanding.